Let me start off by again thanking everyone on the council for. Sure.
Are we having a seance or can we turn the lights on?
Seance. We can turn the lights on. There's a switch right back there, I think. Please start the recording.
Bingham, please begin when you're ready.
Okay, I want to welcome everyone here for our GNSO Council follow-up meeting. Please continue to get up and get some food if you like, coffee, whatever. I'm sorry the coffee isn't up to standards of Belgium. But again, let me thank everybody for all that you've done over the last since Saturday morning. We've had very long days, tons of meetings, and I'll report that to the board on Friday morning. And I know this is an extremely tiring week, but we get a lot of work done. There's things that are progressing quite nicely. There's decisions that we've made and so forth, and everybody on the council and in the GNSO as a whole is a part of that. So I appreciate that very much. One little reminder I want to give everybody, especially with regard to the two houses and the stakeholder groups, I hope that you're starting to think about chair and vice chair elections, because come Cartagena, we will have to have certainly a new chair, as I'm termed out this year. Well, it's not a chair term. It's my council term for the registries. This will be the end of my fourth year, and so two terms is all that I'm allowed. So please be working on that. I know the registries and registrars are trying to finalize our process for those things in the next couple months. I hope. But I just wanted to remind everybody to be thinking about that so that the houses can report their elections as needed come by Cartagena, because at the end of the Cartagena meeting we make the switches, okay? So now in some cases there are candidates, there are current councilors whose term expires but they're eligible for another term. So I think what that means then, especially if they're possible candidates for chair or vice chair, make sure you know whether they're going to be reelected in advance of the other process. So just some timing things here that we don't need to talk about it here, because it's really for the most part up to the houses and then their two stakeholder groups to deal with that. But I wanted to alert everybody to that. Now, as I said earlier, where we'll start off today is just to critique our public meeting that we held yesterday. Feel free to say anything, good, bad, whatever you feel like saying. Hopefully, you know, as we do this following each meeting, we can learn things that'll help us do it better in the future. Feel free to critique the way I handle the meeting. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. In fact, I welcome that. The idea is to learn and get better. And so let me open it up right now to any comments, questions, suggestions that you might have on that meeting. Stefan.
Just a question. Is there, do people on the council want me and Glenn to continue working on the agendas we have done for these two meetings for the next one?
Yes, Wolf?
Well, to both of you. Well, the first is the question of Stefan. I very much appreciate that. So I was felt very comfortable in advance, well, to get a very, very comprehensive agenda and very early, in a very early stage, and to see what's going on so that we could intervene and say, okay, and communicate our needs to you, and you also covered that. I very much appreciate that. Thank you very much. And with regards to the meeting yesterday, from my point of view, I felt very comfortable. So with the way how it worked, how it was organized, how it was managed, the only critic I have, I missed coffee. Thanks.
I think there are a lot of people that will second that one. By the way, I was informed, I think Glenn is the one that informed me of this, probably on Saturday, that they were restricting the coffee and so forth to the vendor area with the intent of forcing people to go by the booths, which I understand that, I guess, from a point of view of all those who went to the expense of setting up their booths, but it certainly isn't very practical for us meeting in all different locations of a huge facility that by the time you go down to that area and get back, you've used your break time in many cases. So thanks, Wolf. And I agree with you. I wouldn't have been able to spend the time on the schedule that Stefan and Glenn spent, and they did a good job of interacting with us in doing that. So thanks for that. Anybody else want to comment on yesterday's council meeting? Wendy.
First, on the technology, I hope we can find either a way to make Adobe work better with all operating systems or alternatives that allow participation from the Linux-based systems even when others are using Adobe. And I'm sorry that the problem only came up in an upgrade that must have been days before this meeting, because my browser kept crashing out of the system. And so I thank Marika for helping to keep me connected through that. I also wonder whether we can somehow condense some of the procedural discussions. It felt as though we had a very long meeting for issues on which we could have come to a crisper consensus more quickly. And I'm not sure whether that just means enforcing time limits and assuming that we've been able to hold most of the conversation on the list in advance, or making sure we're all familiar with procedural rules and ways to close off debate when it seems that we're repeating ourselves. But I'm happy to help think through that.
It's a good point. I was thinking up until the break, a lot of the stuff we did had to be, and maybe even after the break too, had to be terribly uninteresting to the people in the audience. You know, the council, this is quite a few years ago now, the council used to design the agenda so that we avoided a lot of those things and kept it simpler, more tuned in to the fact that there was an audience out there. I guess one of the problems we have to deal with, and this is the challenge I think that we need to work on, is and that Wendy's suggesting is that, you know, our workload right now is so intense that we need to use this meeting to continually moving forward. And there were some critical things we had to decide yesterday, and we had to do that. And some of those, you know, there were some issues that different members of the council had, and we had to work through those. To the extent maybe that some of those could be worked through in advance, let me share what happened, because most of you here wouldn't have been aware of this, but in the Nairobi meeting, and let me ask a question. Christina, are you on?
Yes.
Good, thanks. I thought she was coming on, and I wanted to make sure. But also, there were a subset of us in Reston, Virginia, at the Hyatt Regency there, in a conference room in the middle of the night when the council meeting was going on. and it was quite fascinating because we weren't up on stage and visible and so forth. We had the freedom to walk around the room and whisper in each other's ears. And I think Jeff Newman, who wasn't on the council but who was there as well, he was Skyping with Mary. And Christina and I and Tim and who else was there on the council? Caroline. And we were all discussing things. We weren't in the public eye, so we were able to kind of negotiate. And I forget what the difficult issue that was on the agenda that we were all working on and you were working on here. VI, it was VI. Well, interesting. VI, okay, and so, and it was emotion, I think, that we had to work through. That was great. I wish we could do that kind of thing in the public meeting because we were able to work together and so forth. That's kind of tough to do in the public setting like we have, but I found that to be really effective. I don't know if anybody else that was there wants to comment on that. Mary?
Well, I wasn't at Nairobi West, although great pictures, by the way. but actually, having been at the Nairobi meeting on the days or whatever, I want to agree. I thought that was really one of the more effective ways we worked as a council and as representatives of each of our respective stakeholder groups. And I remember thinking at the time on stage, how nice it would be if our stakeholder group members could actually see to some extent how it is that we worked through all these various channels, public, semi-public, and so forth, because then they might understand what it is that we try to do as a council. So I don't have any constructive suggestions, but certainly from Nairobi East or whatever direction we were, it seemed pretty effective as well.
Tim?
I was wondering if when we were sitting there on Wednesday, if on the part of our working sessions on Saturday and Sunday shouldn't be a more preparatory for that meeting where we can do that kind of interaction and get things honed down so that when we're in front of the public eye, we have this motion all set, we're ready to go, and all that haggling is, well, that sounds negative. All the positive negotiation that we do to get to agreement can be done, you know, during the preparatory meeting. And I don't suggest that be closed either. I think, you know, that could be open. People could see how we work together. That'd be an excellent idea.
Good things are coming out of this. You know, some of us have criticized the board over the years for their working session in preparation for their board meeting on Friday, but in essence, at least part of what they're trying to accomplish is what we're talking about right here, and there is some value for it. Now, key difference being that our working session would be open. Yeah, so that's really good. I think we may be onto something there. Like if we could have worked through a couple of the key motions where we had some differences, some amendments, and done that beforehand and in an open session, that's a good idea. What do you think about that idea, Wendy? Does that sound like it might be one thing we could do?
Yeah, and I think that the interaction is a good thing, and maybe we can. I think that long table was a particularly unfortunate setup because we couldn't see one another. Even though we were all together in person, it was in some ways worse than the phone calls because we didn't have other ways of signaling. So, sure, using the prior meetings, perhaps using the chat more richly, either the chat that's part of Adobe Connect or a Jabber or IRC chat to be able to exchange some coordinating messages in a side channel also works.
Both. Okay. Rosemary.
Thanks, Paul. thanks, Jack. And the other side of the coin to that was that I felt it was a little bit of a letdown when the working teams came to give their reports. And because we'd talked about those in the meetings on Saturday and Sunday, I felt it was a bit of a letdown. So if we change our approach and do some of our stuff on Saturday and Sunday and make those more of a discussion interaction session, that might work for those folks as well.
Wendy, would you be willing to take the lead with a couple other volunteers and just kind of capture some of this stuff and come back with some recommendations for our Cartagena meeting? Christina?
I think it's an excellent idea. My only hesitation is that to some extent we need to be able to build in for discussion that occurs on Tuesday. So I think we should certainly try and do more of that on the weekend, but I think we would have to do so with the understanding that to a large extent it'll be subject to our consultations with our respective constituencies and stakeholder groups.
Yeah, good point, because I think most of us use Tuesday on Constituency Day to, finalize where we're at and get the input we need from our stakeholder group and constituency members. Good point. Thank you. So, Wendy, would you be willing to kind of take? We're not looking for something major, just some simple ideas that we can then evaluate. A few meetings from now. Then try and implement them in Cartagena.
Sure, and anyone else who's interested in joining that effort is welcome to let me know. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Anybody else would like to join that just a little group that come back with some recommendations for improving it in Cartagena? Okay. Stefan, go ahead.
Someone yesterday brought up, I forget who it was, the reading out of the motions and the time that takes up. I wonder if we shouldn't look at that as well. In a sense, it's useful for when we have our phone conferences, because people who just listen to the MP3 afterwards, if they hadn't been able to read the motion, then they have that motion in front of them. But it's also true that it takes up a lot of time, especially during our live meetings here. So I wonder if we shouldn't revisit that as well.
Good idea. And one thing that would really facilitate that is having the motions up on the screen so the audience can see it. We all had, or most of us had, the Adobe Connect working for us. but the audience, didn't have that. Now, there are links that if they were online, they could have, and I tried to mention that to people, but one thing that I think would make it a lot easier, too, and then we probably wouldn't need to read them in detail if they were up there so they could be seen. So that's another idea that Wendy and Tim, anybody else want to join them in doing it? It's okay if it's just two, but if someone else wants to, and Glenn, why don't you send a message out to the list, because we didn't take roll call, but I think probably there may be some missing, and make sure anybody else that wants to volunteer to work with Wendy and Tim on that, and Wendy will take the lead. That would be good to just send a message out that way.
Yes.
Anyone else want to comment on this?
I just have a quick question, Chuck. It's Liz. The real time, having the motions up for the community to see, so they wouldn't be able to see the real time edits if we did it. Yeah. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah. You could, of course, project the Adobe Connect screen. The only thing would mean if you have slides that it's a lot of back and forth with the tech guys that they need to switch. But, for example, what could be done is projecting, once we get to the motions, projecting the Adobe Connect screen of the council so they also see the live editing on that screen. That could be an option. It just means a bit that there might be a bit of delay in getting slides back up and forth, but that's
now,
definitely an option.
Now, I don't recall whether the board, you actually see the live editing, but the board in their meeting on Friday, they make edits and then they post them and so forth. So anyway, another thing that we can work on.
In the board meeting, what they do, they just project the word screen. I think it's either Dan Halloran or John Jeffries that sits behind the screen, and they project their screen, that's the Word document, and there sometimes indeed they do some live editing and see the Word document in there. But I think probably for us, as we're using as well the Adobe Connect room for other things, it might be the easiest just to project that on the screen so people can see that.
The limitation, now you can't show Redline though in Adobe Connect, can you?
That's correct. That's possible.
And to me, and maybe I'm alone on this, I don't know, it's really nice to see exactly what was changed, deleted and added clearly. So, and so again, let's work through the logistics on that.
Because the challenge is that if you have people participating remotely, they won't be able to see that. Because you cannot do Redline at Adobe Connect, so you use them basically either or. So you can indeed just use the Word and show that on the screen for those in the room, but those remote won't be able to see that. Or you use the Adobe Connect, so people remotely can actually see it as well. But indeed, you have the limitation there that you cannot do Redline. You can use caps, for example, to distinguish between old language and new language, but it's not as easy as redlining.
Are there other software tools that provide more options than Adobe Connect? I have no idea, so it's a...
We have been looking into those, but it's not obvious where you have live editing tools, but then you don't, for example, have the raising hands or chatting, or at least, from we've done a bit of research on that, that doesn't seem to be an ideal tool that suits all purposes. So one other thing is that we can do, and we really haven't tested that much, for example, and it sometimes doesn't work always, because it depends, of course, Adobe uses bandwidth as well. For example, that I could share my screen. So I would be editing in Word, but you show that in Adobe Connect. But I think that's something that we need to see, but if we can make that practically work, and hopefully that doesn't affect too many people that are low bandwidth options or that we won't see the screen. So maybe we need to do a bit of testing with that, and that might be an option to explore.
Thanks. Now let me we have a few people that have joined us here this morning as observers, and I want to pause a second. If any of you, we would be interested in hearing your perspective if you were in the council meeting yesterday in terms of what you thought and what would help you as an observer in that meeting. If any of you would like to share any thoughts in that regard, we've got a mic here, and we'd I'd love to hear your observations. Yes, please. Let's see, let me get it turned on. There, it's on. Okay.
Ms. Williams, firstly, I love being at the back of the room, not actually having to do anything, sitting at the front of the table. I couldn't agree more with Wendy on the construction of the table. It was terrible. When you were sitting in the back of the room, you had this long line of people not able to see each other and engage with each other and, as Wendy said, signal to each other. And it looked awful. Just pushing the middle table back and swinging it around to make it sort of a semi-U would have made a huge difference. Beyond silly logistical things like that, though, no one's in the room listening to you. That's a terrible thing, because it either means that it's boring, which I don't think it is, or it's being run in the wrong way, which I don't think it is. But where is the audience? Where are the stakeholders, not meaning stakeholder groups, but where's the people that are affected by the decisions? So to me, there's a big job of work to do engaging people in the room, and it's unfortunate that it's such a big room and it looks so awful when it's so empty, at a time of the day when there's nobody listening. So that's a significant problem, and all of the issues that were being discussed yesterday were terribly important, and I find them immensely engaging and wish to continue to be part of it. But unless you have people in the room engaging with you, then the decision-making process might as well just happen around here. It might as well, and then just announce the decisions later on. I mean, of course, you have terribly open meetings and everybody's able to participate, and you kindly, Chuck, thank you for allowing observers to participate. That's a great improvement, shutting up the peanut gallery in the back of the room when it used to be anyone could speak and anyone could sit at the table. That's a big improvement because it makes it more efficient. But the biggest issue for me is sitting in the room and you're speaking to no one except yourselves.
Anyone else?
Alex. My name is Alex. Just two quick comments. One of them is there was a moment when somebody requested for minutes of the meetings you had, and I think the reaction that we got from the chair of the session was didn't look very good to the audience, because they were told you can't get anything, so maybe next time you could phrase the response a bit better, so that you can feel like if there's anything worse, maybe can see you offline and you can be asked what happened, because everybody's worried about lobbying for a position or the other. The second thing I want to make is in a general organization, which contributes perhaps to the point that I just been mentioned, the events here, the sessions have been back to back, not 10 minutes or 5 minute interval in between. So when one ends, the next one is meant to start in the same room. So it didn't give us room to move from one room to the other, and that may have contributed to people not making it one room, a session, leaving, going to the other. So maybe in the organization, could be that the future sessions are organized with 5 minutes at least in between. Thank you.
So what your that last comment had to do then with the different meetings, not so much the council meeting yesterday. Yeah, got it. Sorry about that with my comment there. We were running out of time, and the person who asked the question knew there were no minutes. So it was a loaded question. I probably should have handled it better, but I thank you for that input. Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. Just to Liz's point about the low participation level in the room during our meeting yesterday, I think we have to bear in mind that this has been an extremely busy week, and the main agenda, there are several sessions running concurrently. That was the case yesterday for us. I know there was a session on DNSSEC that people wanted to go to. I think there was a new GTLD session. So that was part of the problem there, I think. Yeah. And these meetings in general, not just the GNSO agenda, are getting so full that it is hard to get that. So not disagreeing with the fact that an empty room looks bad, but I think that may be the reason for it.
Thanks, Stefan. Bill?
Empty room does look bad, but on the other hand, it may be related to another factor, which is what we had on the agenda to do. Anybody who would have looked at that agenda would have said, geez, they're doing a whole bunch of procedural types of things. There isn't a lot of really juicy, substantive stuff going on. When we've had, in my time here, open meetings where we were discussing things like vertical integration and so on, the room was quite full. So it's simply, I mean, if what we're really concerned about is to ensure that the performative aspects of the open meeting are optimized, then I guess we have to, like, consider, do we want to hold some things for the open meeting that we might have been working on otherwise, and try and structure our workflow so that, you know, we've got this crescendo of decisions on important things happening then, rather than a bunch of sort of, you know, how will work teams be organized and things like that, which people are not going to be quite as excited by. It's natural to me.
Thanks, Bill. Tim?
And I think, too, another factor is just the culture that seems to have kind of grown around ICANN meetings, because in the evenings, you know, a lot of networking and dinners are late and people don't get back to their rooms quite often till early in the morning. And so 8 o'clock in the morning starting any meeting, I think, is going to get, you know, a lot less attendance than it would otherwise. Now, I don't know if there's anything you can do about that, but I think that's just a fact that, you know, we have to deal with as well.
Jamie?
I would like just to emphasize that that the working group reports seem to be repetitive, at least to me. I don't know, because there are these reports are being made to the GAC, to the other constituency, to the constituents, the stakeholder groups, to us before in the private meeting. So, and many of these are open to the audience, so people keeps receiving the same message many times. I think an overall arrangement of the work group reports not to be so repeated in so many instances. I don't know if it would be better.
Good. Terry.
Yeah, Chuck, I guess I was going to agree with Bill. Our meeting was pretty bland there, and I think that that contributed to why we didn't have much attendance. The only thing we got any real interest in was the DNS cert discussion.
Thanks, Terry. Edmund.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here listening to this discussion. I'm just wondering if isn't this, on another way to see it, isn't this kind of good in a way that this is a lot of the actual debate should be taking place in the working group, and if you know things of substance are discussed so much, then we have the other side of the problem. Jeff will definitely come up and say this discussion should not be happening at the council. So just throwing that perspective as well.
Certainly don't want the council communicating. Good, Stefan.
I don't know who it was who made the point that 8 o'clock is too early. I want to second that. I mean, this meeting is normally held at, I think we normally do it at 12, don't we, Chuck, or something. But the agenda this time, just to apologize to you all, because planning the agenda just became impossible to find another slot for this meeting. So that's just another example of how busy we are. I think we've all been extremely busy this week. And if we can, we will, going forward, move this session back to its 12 o'clock slot.
And just a little inside information here. Stefan was lobbying for canceling this meeting last night. Anybody else on our public meeting? Yes, Bill.
Just a completely uninformed question. Has the council always met Wednesday morning for 4 hours? Is it impossible to imagine doing it in the afternoon and reorganizing some of the schedule? I mean, I don't really know what the constraints are.
That's a legitimate question. What I would suggest is that Stefan and Glenn, we need to bring this up really early. We can't wait till the staff has started working on scheduling, but I would suggest in the next couple months that we raise that question with them with regard to the council meeting. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's always difficult scheduling regardless of the time of the day. But if some of the sessions that we know are going to generate more interest are scheduled early in the morning, you might not have that problem. But good question. Anyone else? Anyone else from the behind me here that wants to say anything? I'm not crazy about these long, narrow rooms, but every facility we go to is always different. Wolf.
With regards to the topics, they may be more of interest or less of interest to the council and to the audience. I have got the impression when I compare meetings, public meetings, council meeting in the public ICANN meetings, and our normal sessions every 3 weeks we have, that those sessions here are, the people are getting you to prepared, to be more involved in the preparation for those meetings, for those public meetings. That means that more effort is given to all these work which has to be done to be moved here at those meetings rather than in our three weekly sessions we have. So I wonder whether it would be possible also to be so well organized for our council calls. That means that we could move those more managerial work during those sessions, which are not so public, and then and then post our or do our efforts more our efforts more on topics which may be of more interest for the public during the public meetings. You understand what I mean? That means that the organizational work should be more done during our council calls, which are not so publicly visited, and other topics which may be more interested for the public could be then extensively discussed here in those sessions here, like here in Brussels and other public meetings. Thanks.
Not seeing any other hands, and you'll let me know if Christina wants to speak up, right? Okay. Yeah, David.
Yes, sir. Just a comment, because I know the board had said the other day that we were the masters of our own destiny and our own workload. And certainly, you know, coming to a meeting where we have a Sunday morning meeting starting at 8 o'clock, it's pretty radical in many ways, because there's not many places where you have 8 o'clock meetings on a Sunday morning. And I just got a question, well, not even a question, a thought, but the fact is the 6 o'clock slots are still free throughout the week, so we need to be careful, because the agenda gets bigger and bigger, and maybe we'll find ourselves at 6 a.m. meetings in a year or so.
Okay, let's take a few minutes and see if there are any comments on the overall schedule for the week. Anybody have anything you'd like to share or ask in regard to that? Bill?
Well, I don't know if this is the moment for it or not, but it's not about what we've done this week, but it's looking forward to Cartagena. As I've said to you before, I think it would be sensible if we could find a way to schedule some chunk of time to have a discussion of the council's role and how people understand that, because it's become clear that there are different views on that. And I think at least having an hour at some point in Cartagena to brainstorm on that and try and get people on the same page might be useful. The other thing I was going to suggest, I don't know if everybody was in the GAC meeting, but some of us were fairly floored by the GAC's turnaround on morality and public order. After years of saying that we didn't see that there was an international legal principle here that could be interpreted by these little panels, in NCSG anyway, for the GAC to turn around and say, you know, gee, we just read the DAG and we find there's this thing there that we don't think works, was kind of interesting, given their prior positions. And it just strikes me as something that this is, I would think that this is something that maybe it might make sense for there really to be some sort of cross-community working group to try to address, and it would make sense for the council to be much involved in that. I think that this is an issue that has to be resolved fairly quickly for the whole process to go forward, and it seems to be politically pressing given where the governments are now. And I'm hoping that what they have in mind instead is not something that's even worse. So it's just a suggestion that these are two items we might think about for the next meeting.
Thank you, Bill. If I only had some hope that the GAC would participate. It's so hard. Yeah, it's so hard to get them involved. Caroline.
In relation to your first point, Bill, that conversation on, you know, role of councillors and sort of been bubbling up this week, I think we should have that conversation sooner rather than later, and, you know, perhaps even, you know, presenting our findings or conclusions, you know, not that I think it's going to be that serious of a workload or project, but, you know, just kind of clarifying it in Cartagena, but at least having had the discussion earlier. I know we're kind of waiting on Jeff's formal note or petition. I don't know what the expected output is from all of that, but, you know, let's just nip it in the bud and get it done. I'm also wondering about the board GNSO dinner on Sunday. I mean, personally, I thought it worked quite well, the idea of the topics and the tables and whatnot. But, you know, Dennis Jennings had a couple of suggestions as well as to, you know, these communication sessions with the council. So it might be worth, you know, summarizing our views on that and seeing where we stand for Cartagena.
Should we refer Dennis to Jeff? Terry.
Well, I realize it generated some controversy, but I found it very helpful to have the session with the board. So,
Tim.
Yeah, the you know, I even talked to Jeff a little bit later. It just seemed, and I don't know if he's even here this morning, but it just seemed to me that maybe it wasn't so much that we had the session, it's just that the way it occurred raised questions about what went on and, you know, whether the discussions were appropriate and that kind of thing. So that might be something we can give some thought to. I know it creates a dilemma otherwise, but I think that was probably generated more questions than the fact that we had it.
Yeah, and of course, as I promised, I communicated with the co-chairs of the working group in quite detail and let them ask questions. And I encouraged all the working group members on the council that were in the meeting also to feel free to share anything that you wanted to on that. If I had to do it over again, one thing I would do different is I would have invited the co-chairs to that meeting. I actually suggested that, and I got a strong reaction from a couple counselors. In hindsight, I said, you know, I should have held my ground on that. Just to have them there, if nothing else, just to observe, would have made a big difference. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But your point's well taken. It was kind of a novel idea that was dynamic. It came up. The only way to make it happen in a in-person meeting on this topic was this week, as you all know. So I don't need to explain that to you, Stefan.
As one of the strong reactors, I want to come out of the closet. But the reason why at the time I thought it wasn't a good idea was that I didn't see this session while we were discussing it as a VI session at all. It became one. But the idea was, I think it was Caroline was talking about communication, and that was the idea behind it. I think we all found, we were all in agreement before the dinner that it was a useful thing to have when the question was put to us by Peter, should we continue? And I think we came out of that dinner with the certainty in our heads that it is a useful thing to do. And Dennis then suggested that, you know, we may also, that there's that social event, but what about the communications event that we could also have? And that's what we're trying to do. So it turned out to be a VI session. That may have been unfortunate because it's the topic of the day and it's slightly controversial, but I think the idea behind that is to continue just increasing the communication between us and the board. Maybe I don't know if the board's okay with that, but I think there's a will in this room to do that.
By the way, Stefan and Glenn, keep in mind Dennis's suggestion as we're planning for the Cartagena meeting. I think that's a very good idea, and obviously you already captured Bill's suggestion to have a time, and I'm not sure an hour would be enough. We may need a couple hours open to the community to talk about the role of the council. By then we should be finalized, hopefully we'll have finalized the working group implementation recommendations and the PDP implementation recommendations and so forth. So those are important items. By the way, I did tell Mikey and Roberto that I, as soon as I can find time, I will try to respond in more detail with regard to what happened in that meeting. I just have been buried, literally. This week, and so if they want me to, I'll ask again before I raise it. If they'd rather not me even bring it up again, I will. I did email Ron Andreff and say if he wanted to talk one-on-one, I'd be helpful to, and he was one of the people that commented. But more than happy to do that. I just, you know, didn't see any light of the day, and as soon as I respond, what I anticipate is a whole string of questions that are going to go on for a while. So I just didn't have the time to commit to that right then. Stefan?
Yeah, Glenn's just reminded me that a point came up when we were organizing the dinner and communicate. We sent out, we reached out to board members asking them if they had topics. First of all, I think congratulations to Chuck because we changed the format at very last minute. I think it worked very well, so congratulations there. The format this time being that, you know, we had set tables with topics on those tables, and people could go to the tables and determine their own topics, which is not something that we've done before, and that may have helped make those dinners more interesting. But one of the suggestions that was made by one board member before, when we were organizing it before this meeting, was that we have these dinners without staff. Now, I don't know the history behind that. I think that was something that had come up beforehand. Chuck, you may be able to help on that. But it is something that's worthwhile discussing. Just for planning purposes, it makes a lot of difference because the budgets are getting tighter, and if you don't have staff, you have less people, so it's cheaper. But we may also want to discuss whether, you know, the interaction with the staff and the board at those meetings is useful or not. I don't know.
Thanks. Tim?
Yeah, you know, I kind of raised that issue. Not that I think that staff should not be involved. I don't necessarily agree with that. My only concern was that it seemed like at some of the dinners, because of the number of counselors and staff together, there wasn't an opportunity to interact with as many of the board members at the dinner, because the tables were, you know, three-quarters staff and council, and you might have one or two board members. Now, as much, at least at our table, it was great. We had three board members, so that was very good. But that's what I just want to make sure, is that the council has sufficient opportunity to interact with the board at those dinners.
Thanks, Tim. Olga?
Well, we had a lovely dinner, but no board members interested in working group model. Lovely dinner, by the way, Wolf, right? With Liz and Ken and others. So just a comment. Maybe we have considered that for the next time list of issues. Or, Wolf, I don't know if you had any other thing to add.
Yes, support that. The table was nice, really. So, but we ended up with not with a board member, but with a special advisor to the chairman, to the ICANN CEO. So he was not aware of anything of our topic, you know. So, but okay, we tried well to convince him that it's a good topic, and so also to communicate to Rod. Okay, anyway, so that's vice versa. That means, okay, for the preparation of such dinners, it would be nice, or it would be good, I would say, if in advance also the board members could be allocated to those topics. So that we could really see, okay, is it of interest to the board or is it not?
Now, of course, we tried that, and I think three board members responded to what Bruce distributed and what I sent out. So maybe we just need to start that a lot earlier. I don't know. Jamie?
Maybe if the topics were presented to the board, they could exclude some if there is no interest from them.
So not only ask for their preferences, but
yes,
ask for an
present them the options, and feel free to exclude any that there is no interest.
Okay. David?
Yes, as I was on the table that was looking to figure out what best to do on future dinners, one of the discussions we had, which I think might well have been mentioned already, but was the idea of having a council board meeting first for an hour, where we do an hour and a half, whatever, and we do the business side of it, and then follow that straight up with the social dinner or drinks and dinner. And then I think you'd find you'd have a natural tendency for people to group together with whatever subject they were discussing and wanted to carry on or not as the case may be, and that way you've got the business and the social. So I think that was maybe quite a good way of thinking about it.
Thanks. Caroline?
Yeah, I find it surprising that there was no board members at the working group table, particularly when the GNSO had prioritised that project so highly. I think, yeah, getting the subjects in advance and, you know, I'd maybe even favour a random selection of councillors and board members, you know, pre-allocation, and then if we did have the subjects beforehand in advance, we could all prepare a bit so that we all feel comfortable enough talking about that topic.
Good. Wendy?
I like David's suggestion a lot, and some of the board members at our table were commenting and somewhat questioning why it is that the council doesn't have a formal meeting with the board at these meetings, when it troops around to all of the constituencies and stakeholder groups and other SOs that maybe not every meeting, but once a year, at least we might have a formal meeting, and then that might flow quite nicely into social drinks or dinner.
Yeah, jumping back to the VI topic, I think everyone here knows that, but that was actually a suggestion from a board member. So if anybody asks and wonders, that's interesting. Jamie?
Well, we ended up having a formal meeting with the board here. Yeah, it's a semi-formal. It was a semi-formal. And I think I strongly agree with Davey and Wendy.
Is there anyone like Wendy volunteered on our to work with Tim on, you know, some ideas for our public meeting and so forth? Is there anybody that would like to take the lead maybe in developing, working with somebody else on the council to focus on the board, the interaction with the board, whether it's one meeting or two or one that's split into two parts or whatever? Anybody want to take the lead on that? Okay, Terry. Anybody who would? Okay, David. Okay, anybody else? I mean, two's good. I'm not pushing for more, but okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Jamie, Zahid, Stefan. Stefan's not here, is he? Did you want to join them? Okay, thanks. This is the day always where I start to, you know, you start to relax a little bit, and then it hits you. All of us know that, I think. So we're running out of time. So to me, this is invaluable time because great critique has happened. Let me just real quickly open it back up to the people behind me. Is there anyone that wants to add anything? Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for coming. Oh, you sure may, Liz. Thanks for reminding me.
Thanks. This is a little mundane. Oh, I'm sorry. Bill?
No, it's okay.
Sure?
After.
Okay. I just want to briefly mention, right now ICANN uses the social text wiki, and we're going to be moving away from that to a new wiki that is called Confluence. It's by Atlassian, A-T-L-A-S-S-I-A-N. There's some reasons why we did that. There's some benefits in terms of better editing, stronger security, it costs less. It has stronger version control, which might be useful, and some other capabilities that are nice. It's going to be phased out, phased in a sort of phased approach over a six-month period where the existing wiki will remain up and workable, and there'll be a migration of data, and then at some point we'll begin operating in the new space with both of the wikis operational for about a three-month period. I know that the community use of wikis varies, the wiki pages varies dramatically. So for some of you, this just may be of no consequence, really. But for others, there may be training that you'll be interested in taking, and we'll provide more information on that, and also probably for working group chairs and for other working group participants to the degree that working groups directly use the wiki. So I just wanted to mention that quickly. There will be more information coming about opportunities for training. I've been using it without training, and I find myself sort of functional, so I don't think it's really daunting unless you do a lot of complex stuff, but just wanted to mention it.
Thanks, Liz. Bill?
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I didn't frame my comment before about morality and public order in the right format, so you replied that it's hard to get GAC people involved. So let me try again. GAC people I've talked to at ALAC plan to create a group to talk about morality and public order. Okay. So I told them NCSG is happy to work with them on this. But let me reframe. I think it would be more appropriate if it was council that was expressing a willingness to work with them on this. So I guess what I'm asking is, since there are people in the other two groupings, who in the two ACs, who intend to do something about this, would the council like to join, or can we have an expression of council interest in participating?
Anybody have a problem with us expressing our interest as a council? Do you need to go back to your stakeholder groups and find
out? Well, we have. Were you in the GAC meeting?
No.
Okay. You should read Milton's blog. Actually, it's quite good at this. But the in a rather interestingly heated and packed room GAC meeting the other day, The GAC with the United States curiously in the lead and quite intensively said basically they don't like the morality and public order section of the DAG and they want it out and they want something else, but they don't know what. And, of course, some board members said, gee, that's nice that you don't like it. Could you give us some idea of what maybe you'd like instead? And they said, no, that's not our job. We're not going to the GAC doesn't have to tell you what it ought to be. We just tell you what it shouldn't be. And so given that that's the case, there is then a curious limbo situation where you've got the GAC saying that this, you know, heretofore highly controversial and problematic section of the DAG has to be replaced with something. So therefore, there are people who have an interest in this matter in trying to think through what, if anything, something might be. Should it be simply that we have nothing there and the other provisions of the DAG that deal with community objections or whatever else would be sufficient, or do we have to have some other kind of provision? And it's entirely possible that if left to their own devices, governments can come up with something that's even worse than what we have. So in any event, it seems to me that if people are going to be having this conversation, it would be sensible for the council, or if the council doesn't want to, stakeholder groups to participate in it. In an effort to try to brainstorm a bit about what the alternatives might be.
So the ALAC and the GAC have agreed to work together on this, and the...
There are people in the GAC and there are people in
my
the ALAC
mistake.
Who are saying, let's do a thing. I don't know that it's percolated up to the level of the GAC formally calling for that, but I was told by one GAC member that they thought it would be in the communique, that a call for creation of a cross-community group.
So why don't we approach it the same way? Who in the on the council or in your group, doesn't have to be counselors, restricted to counselors, would like to participate on that? So we've got, let's get these names captured. Okay, so Caroline and Zahid and Jamie and Olga and Bill. And again, if we could put a message out on this, Glenn, to anybody else from the stakeholder groups. Mary? Okay, so, and we're out of time. We need to turn this room over. But if anybody else wants to, so we've got some definite and from a variety of a good variety of stakeholder groups. That's excellent. Zahid,
thank you. Now, just to clarify,
because we haven't cleared any of this with RSGs. These would be individual capacities, yes? And this is not sort of a policy decision or anything from the council per se. Just wondering.
Sounds like we're going down a dangerous path, doesn't it?
I know. And people, we get asked about secret meetings, so.
Okay. And don't hesitate to refer people to me on that meeting. It really was my doing in response to some stuff that happened. I will be happy to handle questions and so forth. Thanks again. We do need to close so that the next meeting can start. And it is the PEDNR PDP working group here, so we need to quickly get out of their way and let them take over. And I think we've even left some breakfast for them if they want it. So good. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for everything this week and for this great interaction right here. Much appreciated.
NCSG counselors, can you please check your email for two emails from me? Thank you.